This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. It is the Blue Liner on point talking to you live to tape from wonderful, beautiful downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it is another Caps year, another Caps season, 2021-22. And with me once again, as always, for another year, this is our fourth year?
I think it is, yes.
Yeah, fourth year together, the one and only mermaid, Anna Knox.
Yes. Hello. Welcome back, Gil.
Welcome back, Anna. And of course, she is still, as always, live from Centerville, Virginia, representing Fairfax County Public Schools.
Which I'm cursing these days because it's been rough. I don't know. Like everyone I talk to has just not been able to get into the school year. And it's a lot of demands and things that we thought we're good with, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get thrown for a loop, and that wearing the mask all day thing is not pleasant.
So are you guys doing the hybrid thing, or is it everybody's back?
No, we're 100% in person.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but now we've been told that if somebody has COVID and then we have to do a close contact thing, like we have to know where the kids are all for the 7.5 hours, like who they sit next to, who they sit next to at lunch, and for contact, whatever you call it. And I just totally drew a blank on the name. And then we have to call those people and tell them, okay, well, this person has COVID, so there's a good chance that your son or daughter has it. So they have to be home for 10 days or whatever it is. But now we have to provide a live stream for all of our lessons if somebody's home. So, and that just makes it hard because, you know, we're just not able to, like, you just can't walk around the classroom like you would any other time, you know, and interact with people and move around and make the lessons that much more exciting. But now it's, you have one kid at home, so you have to be sure that they can see you and the board. So everything is quite, you know, just boring. So, but yeah, we have, you know, probably a COVID case a week or so at our school. It's crazy.
So it's kind of, well, if you think about it, it's kind of like you're hosting your own class-wide video podcast, if you think about it.
It is, except it's not nearly as fun because I have to watch my language.
Yeah.
And I can't have a cocktail.
That's true.
It's like, and of course, and then you, 9 times out of 10, the kids at home are the one that has like the helicopter parent. So they're like right over the shoulder, being sure that everything's being done perfectly. So I got to abide by the rules. So that's really meh.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
Yeah, I get that. Well, I guess I count myself lucky in that our company kind of when the second wave, the variants, the scourge of that started, they got all scared and they kind of rolled back their everybody coming back in. And I'm mostly teleworking anyway. So I haven't really had much to deal with. It's been a lot more of the same. And now that I think about it, we're coming up on the end of the year. So that's tax season. So I've got that to dread. But anyway, we're here to not think about the real world. We're here to talk about hockey and our hockey families. And if speaking of the latter, anyone who had a chance to listen last night, of course, right now, it being October the 10th, Sunday evening, last night, of course, Tom Gobble of the Caps fans Facebook page and I recorded a nice brief dedication to the life of Mike Stepp, who was, of course, one of the founders of that page. So to anyone who tuned in and listened to that and gave that a whirl, I do thank you. I admitted to Tom, okay, well, this is before we went on, okay, this is going to be kind of a warm-up because I've got all new equipment. It's an all-new website and everything. I don't know how well everything's going to work. And he hung in there like a champ. And if you haven't had a chance, yeah, if you haven't had a chance to talk, yeah, he's a great guy. You've probably seen a lot of his posts already. He's been an active poster on our page as well as several other pages. So get to know him. Really great guy, really knowledgeable. Been around a lot, so for everybody out there, get to know him. That's Tom Gobble again of the
awesome
Caps fans page. So before we get into the hockey, those of you who, speaking of the Facebook page, who follow us, know of course, not only did we have the tragedy of Mike suddenly passing away, but of course. We had our own mermaid's mother's life. She passed away after a battle with cancer for the greater part of this and last year. And she hung in there as bravely as she could. And she finally passed away last September peacefully with family at her side.
Yep.
And I had the privilege of going to the service, which took place in St. Peter's Catholic Church in downtown D.C.
Yep.
It was an absolutely beautiful service.
Thanks.
And, it was actually streamed live. Anna's husband, Ian, did a terrific job not only streaming the service, but also giving a prepared speech about Anna's mom's life and basically how she was. And we're not only talking about her because she's important, because she shaped who Anna is, of course, but
right.
Ironically enough, she was born in Winnipeg and was a lifelong hockey fan. And
yes, she was.
And so I think we need to give her her just due by, kind of celebrating her life here as much as we can.
Yeah.
So she started out as a Jets fan. And so, Anna, was that kind of your intro into hockey when she got into that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Between her and her father was actually he was a huge, huge sports fan, a huge golfer and hockey number one, golf, and then he was actually a big Yankees fan, which is kind of cool. Cool because of, you know, his era and who he followed on the Yankees and who he appreciated, not present day. But so he was big into that and in Winnipeg, of course, at that time, my mom used to always joke that, you know, all the guys played hockey, and at that time, no one wore helmets, so half the guys in their school pitchers didn't have teeth, and that was just kind of the norm, so that was very funny to always think about that, but it was just, you know, just totally normal. So, yeah, so she brought that into us, and my brother played in South Bend when we lived there just for a couple of years when I was real little. He played hockey then. And then when we moved to California, it was different. You know, it wasn't, because in Winnipeg is so much, obviously an indoor sport, but when you get to California, you could do everything more outdoors. So we sort of gravitated to that, but always followed the Jets until they weren't the Jets for a good amount of time. And then when they came back, she was on board. And I think one of the coolest things was that she was able to, she has two best friends who are that still live in Winnipeg, and one of them is like the best hockey fan and hockey mom you could ever meet, and her boys actually own a coffee company in Kelowna, so they know a ton of hockey players that vacation there. So that's on my bucket list to go visit those guys because they're family friends.
Kelowna. Yeah. Kelowna, of course, big junior hockey town. They have the Rockets, and a lot of Caps prospects have come out of that system.
That's awesome. One of her sons is a big golfer, and so off season when the players go to have time off there, he's with them, and I'm like, okay, it's time for me to go out. Jeff is a Winnipeg fan. He has also become a huge diehard Vegas fan. So we have a little bit of with that, but it'd be worth it to go. So they would get on the phone on these recently, within the last however many years, they would talk every night hockey was on, and their big joke was, you know, they were the biggest couch coaches you could ever meet. These two women in their late 70s, both Winnipeg, both, you know, drinking as they're watching the game, and both had quite the opinion. And they're like, we just don't understand why no one ever asks us our opinion. I thought, well, because she would say things. And my mom's reason for liking a player always had some sort of obscure, you know, like Kevin Bacon thing where you're just like, how did you, why this guy? Well, this person went to this college and that person, you know, and you're like, how about who he plays with currently and his statistics today, not who his dad was or whatever. So it was always very funny. But anyways, so she brought the hockey love into the household, and that's how we went. And then in 92, 93, when the Sharks came to San Jose.
Yep.
We were able to kind of jump on that bandwagon in the beginning. And then I moved here in 05, and that was that.
Apps ever since.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's been very cool.
Yeah. So one of my thoughts was, and this is kind of what I was thinking with last night with Mike was, and I don't know if I ever asked you this, but I was kind of thinking because of that, it'd be nice to have her on the show. I don't know if I ever asked you if
you did. You did at one point say it would have been, and it would have been actually very funny because she at first was like, I can't believe you're doing this, you know, podcast on hockey. Like, you know, because I had other sports that are, you know, I'm still crazy San Francisco Niners fan. You know, and I went through, you know, like a San Francisco Giants phase were like cute, and I still support them, and I'm still a Niners fan. But then, you know, other teams and other sports kind of come and go. So she always kind of laughed that she'd be like, she's the reason. And I was like, whatever, if that's what you want to go with. But now, you know, now that she's passed, I'm like, okay, hats off to you, Nicolette. Yes, you are the reason. And she would have come on and she would have had a ton of opinions because she was very opinionated about everything. So it would have been kind of amusing to hear what she would have said had you asked her hockey, but also if you had asked her about me as a child or growing up or what a hellion I was as a teenager. So we'll see.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of kicking myself for not asking her to be on, because I think that probably would have made for a pretty good episode.
I'm sure.
Just as I'm kicking myself for not having Mike on, because he also has pretty strong opinions about the team, and
right.
You know, just goes to show, you know, you enjoy what you got now, because you just never know. You know what tomorrow is going to bring.
100%.
Bring everything.
And it's always
down,
the worst that, you know, we wind up having those phrases come to mind once somebody passes, and it's like you have them for a couple of days, and then it, you know, it sort of fades, and it's like, you know, it's just something that really should be, you know, every morning you should just get up and be like, I'm up, I got a job, or I don't have a job, but I'm looking for a job. I've got a family. I don't have a family. I've got friends. You know, it's like there are so many things to be appreciative of. And with my mom's, you know, bringing her here those last like 6 or 7 weeks of her life, I appreciate the fact that I had a room for her, and that she, you know, I could take her to her appointments and still, you know, make her laugh, and she could hear me cooking and playing music and the kids laughing or the dogs barking, to give that sense of normalcy. And I have 100% no regrets. And I just know that we, my brother and I both, because he's in DC, is like, you know, just did everything that we could. So in that sense, I have like, you know, nothing but just total tranquil peace with how things went. Unfortunately, way too young at 77, but my dad died at 50. So it's like, you just got to take what you can. And yeah, just all that little shit just doesn't seem to bug me anymore. Not that I'm not going to get riled up on the show, because I will just transition into hockey with, I did hear and I did read today that Ryan Reeves may be on the ice on Wednesday. Thought he was out.
So, we'll get to that.
So am I feeling quite zen now? Yes. Ask me Wednesday night when they do the, you know, call everybody out on the ice, and I'm going to be like, what the fuck? And back to my old ways, probably. But I'll just do it in honor of my mom. So it all kind of loops back.
Yeah. We'll see.
And Mike.
I totally agree. And I love that. What is all bringing us together is the passion for the game. And she obviously had that. And I keep going back to this, but I just kind of wish, you know, we could have had her on just to have her talk about it, because I have a feeling that, you know, she could just go on and on with what it was like supporting the Jets and
yeah,
you know, being a sports fan in Northern California, and you know, because there were a lot of glorious times with that, and she sounded like a person that knew how to share, you know, experiences like that. So a life well lived, I would say, all around, from everything that I've heard, of course, from you and from family during the service and all that. So I'm just hoping that what little we're doing here, this little podcast that we have, is, you know, like we did last night with Mike, just doing your mom justice here by honoring her, because obviously she was important
to you
and to the family.
I appreciate that. And you know, people can say, you know, oh, like, God, that's so sad. It's so sad. And I said, yeah, you know, of course it was sad. I said, but she was a widow for 27 years and never, like, she wore my dad's wedding ring when he died. It was like, there was no day. There wasn't even a look at anybody else. She was just like, he was it. And I always just thought that was so amazing. So there's that comfort in, you know, that she's with him right now. But yeah, the fact that, you know, she left Winnipeg at 21 and backpacked through Europe, and that's where she met my dad.
I can totally see her doing that.
Yeah. And you know, only child, and incredibly independent and incredibly opinionated and incredibly stubborn, wicked sense of humor, and enjoyed her cocktails as much as everybody else, and her sports, and loved her grandkids. And I will say the coolest thing to this day is that when she had her 70th birthday, we had a huge party for her in California, and I flew home with the kids and Ian for that. 7 years ago. And then when she turned 75, she was like, I really want to do something. And you know, like, she's big on like, hey, it's my birthday and let's do something awesome. And I was trying to figure out, you know, okay, it's her birthday's in August, and then it was like right around the time I was starting school. And she's like, listen, you don't need to come home, because her two Winnipeg friends were gonna come, and they went to the Rolling Stones.
Oh, nice.
So you know what? I was like, hey, that was my moment in a nutshell. Like, there was no, you know, John Denver, you know, Neil Diamond, whatever playing at our house. It was, we listened to some pretty awesome, like, we grew up on Journey, being Bay Area girl and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it was just kind of crazy. So she spent her 75th birthday there. And I thought, I don't know a whole lot of people that can say that. So that no. to me just made her like pretty kick ass.
Yeah. And yeah, she sounds like, and I don't know how else to say it, but she sounds like a hell of a woman.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I mean, it's kind of obvious where, you got everything from, inside and out. Right. and that's a good thing. I say that with as much love and respect, as I can. I'm laughing, cause I can't help, but, and it, I guess that's the mark of her life. I'm thinking about her and talking about her and I can't stop smiling because
that's the effect
yeah. that she had.
That's exactly what she wanted. She was a fantastic cook. And, you know, she, like I said, we all loved our wine. And right before, I'll do this one last story and then, like, we'll move on to hockey. But I will just say, so aside from the Rolling Stones, when we decided that we were leaving the hospital and we were not going to do hospice in the hospital, because it was like, oh, that's just too, it's so heart-wrenching. There's so many people there who don't have family. And I was like, nope, we've got a place for you. And these are your final days. We're going to make it awesome in Centerville. And she told my brother, you know, that she had, you know, this one request for my brother and one request for myself. And the request for me was that when she was leaving the hospital, when he was bringing her home, that I specifically had crushed ice and two limes and tonic, not diet tonic, but good tonic, and a Bombay Blue Sapphire gin.
Oh,
because she was nice. we were gonna have a gin and tonic, and she's like, shit, if I'm going out with a bang. So here, this was like, you know, her wish to me, like, I'm, you know, like, if these are my, this is like the dying wish, so I can make her this like amazing gin and tonic. My brother, however, it was like, Eric, just please be sure that you have this fantastic, beautiful, heartfelt mass for me at this Catholic church. I was like, what does that say about your kids? Like, you just want to kick ass cocktail from your daughter and like raise hell. And then you want to be like all Zen and Catholic mass. So we laughed about that. And I was like, that, and that's 100% who she was. So yes, we did have that gin and tonic when she came home, and another one a day or two later before she passed, and then the fantastic ceremony, which wasn't a gorgeous church, but she knew that I wouldn't be able to pull that off.
That is so her. That, from everything I've read and heard about her, that is so her. The yin and the yang.
Yeah,
all 100%. All wrapped into one.
Yep. Yep. So I appreciate the time. I appreciate you and Jenny making that trek out there. It truly meant, so like I said, it would just made my cup overflow, which was awesome and very much needed that day. And yeah, we can switch gears and let's just talk about this hockey team.
Absolutely. So obviously, of course, this is the first episode of first full-fledged episode of the 21-22 season. And this team that we love so much has a lot of questions and looks somewhat different than what we're used to. And, you know, we get complicated in our discussions sometimes, but I think because we don't really have enough evidence, I don't think, to make a judgment. And I want to emphasize that, because I think a lot of people are rushing to a judgment about this team, especially those who don't friggin' know a whole lot about this team.
Agree.
John Scott. we're gonna KISS, keep it simple, Samsonov, in our evaluation here. Cause all we've got are these cruddy preseason games to go by, most of which some of which were honestly a snore, and some of which were fun to watch. It was fun to get, you know, watch some of the young guys out there. A lot of good, a lot of bad.
Typical preseason.
Typical preseason. Yeah, a lot of figuring out to do. Because here's the obvious, the painfully obvious, more like it. The team was banged up at the end of the year, so much so that they could not compete for a full round of the playoffs. Hence, mm-hmm. the first round exit. And one of the reasons they were so banged up is because, well, a lot of older guys on that team.
Right.
And the D core in particular, all guys 30 or older. Well, I mean, so what's the answer to that? You get some youth, you get some, you know, you get something. This team really needs a shot in the arm. It needs as much go-go as they can get, more so than you can find on a Chuck Brown greatest hits album. But I think it needs a little bit more than that, because if you have young guys, if you have the right mix of young guys that want to prove themselves and older guys who still want to win, I think that's an unbeatable combination. Yeah. And I don't think Nick Backstrom wants to go out with a bum hip. I think he wants to prove himself. I think he wants to go out with a bang and say to all those detractors who never give him enough credit, he wants to have one more bang up year at least.
No.
Ovechkin, of course, the question is, he's more concerned about Gretzky's record. Yeah, he might be, but I'm pretty sure he wants to win another cup, because just one, well, yeah, that's nice, but you want to win it again.
Right.
And you got a lot of other guys on there who are hungry and thirsty for more success. You don't want to just show up and play just because you love it. You want to win. You want to be the best. I think desire is something that will get you very, very far. And if they can ramp that up somehow, because this team still has a lot of ability.
Mm-hmm.
If somehow the coaching staff can get this team to put out the effort that they need every night, and we say it, you and I each, how many times have we said it after recaps of games?
All right, 60 minutes of hockey.
60 minutes of hockey.
Yep.
Not 55, not 56, not 50, 60.
Yep.
And if they can do that on a night-to-night basis, I think they will at least be competitive. I'll be honest. I don't think this team is going to contend for a division title. But I think if you paid any attention last year, fat lot of good that did anyway. Because the division winner didn't make it out of the division.
Right.
It was the fourth place team that went on to the conference final. So
a cluster.
Yeah. So I'm kind of glad that, honestly, I'm kind of glad that the Caps are kind of seen as an underdog this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's when they're at their best, when nobody thinks they'll win.
Right. Well, and that's true for so many other teams. But I think that for me, I need the hype to be on the team and not the hype to be on Ovi chasing Gretzky. Because there's been so much hype, so much hype, almost like, oh, come on, enough already. And I really truly don't think that he wants that much talk about it. Like, he wants to get out there and play for the Capitals, you know, and if the Gretzky thing, you know, of course it's in everyone's head, but I just don't, you know, I see him as being, you know, legit wanting to take the Capitals to another cup, you know, whether it's this year or whenever he ends his contract in 5 years or whatever it is. But I need the focus to be on the team as a whole. I just can't stand the, you know, the pressure. It's a lot to put on Ovechkin, to be honest. But it's also not fair to the team. Like, nobody, it's a, you know, team, it's more than one player. So it's like, come on, you know, let's talk about the other ones who are being consistent or stepping up or, you know, in regards to the vet players. And then let's talk about the, you know, the ones who could have this opportunity at 19 and 20 years old to completely kick ass under the wing of said Fed players that, you know what they're talking about and know what they're doing.
And that's, well, so everything you just said, that is that it's going to be a test of the captain's leadership, because yes, you're right. As every goal that he scores from now to the end, the media, the hockey media is going to be on him. Okay, well, what do you think your chances are? What do you think about
when who's the next person he can chase?
What's it going to mean to you? How do you stack this up against all your accomplishments? And the whole spotlight is going to be on that. And a true leader says, no, well, that it's nice, it's good. Yes, it's something I think about, but right now all I care about is winning.
Exactly. And I think that's who he is, to be honest. Like, I really don't think that all we ever hear about him when he's being interviewed is his response of chasing Gretzky's goal. He answers the questions, but he is all about the team. And that's why he's been a captain for so long and well-deserved. So I just wish the media would you know, enough already. You know, well, it's like, stop.
Yeah, we wish the hockey media would do a lot of things, but if they actually did their job, you and I would not be doing this podcast. It's one of the
reasons
why we have a podcast is because the hockey media in general sucks at their job. So, but yeah, you're right. It's that he's going to be asked the questions, and it is unfair, but it's also his job as captain to kind of, as much as he can, steer the focus on, hey, it's not just me and it's not just the goals. We're trying to win here. We have a team goal. Yeah. And I think he's going to do as much as he can to deflect all that. But yeah, unfortunately, like it or not, that's going to be one of the big questions. Does he have, can he carry this team for at least this year and however long? So that's question number one. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's a question mark, even with what we saw the other night against Philly. Although I heard reports today that he's walking around just fine. No limp, no brace, no nothing.
Right.
Pretty sure that was Tom Galitti who reported that on Twitter. So that's a good sign. But that's one of the questions. Another question is the goaltending. I don't really think we saw as much as we should have or could have with Samsonov and Vanecek. Of course, Vanecek ended up carrying most of the team, the team for most of the season, and then Samsonov proved to be the playoff goalie, which, I mean, I'll be honest, I've seen that probably dozens of times.
Right.
So that really didn't surprise me, and it probably will work out something to that effect again. I still think we've got a pretty good 1-1A combination, so I think it'll be something like, I don't know if they'll do a road goalie, home goalie situation and split it that way, but I would not be surprised if the two of them split everything down the middle. And if one of them gets hurt, I think we've got very capable third string goalies in Hershey, and Fucali and Copley.
Yep.
I got to check on Copley. I don't know if they lost him to waivers or not. I'm going to have to check on that.
I didn't see. I don't think
he did.
Who was the other one?
Zach Fucali.
Right, and then
was the other one.
Pinon. Is that his name? God, it's like, yeah, that they're both back. They're both Hershey Mound.
Yeah, they're both in Hershey right now. I'm pretty sure they are. If one of them goes down, one of the two leads go down, I'm not worried. So I don't think the goaltending is as big a question. I think
Pinho, we
saw enough. Pinho is actually a center.
Oh yeah, no, but I'm just saying those were the two that didn't make the roster before we jumped on the podcast.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I think Pinho was sent back down, but I think we'll see more of him in the coming years.
Yeah.
Because he's got some jump to his game. Speaking of the young guys, they probably didn't expect this to be a question, but So here's the question, at least going into the first few weeks of the season, McMichael or LaPierre?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody saw this coming. I didn't see this coming. I knew LaPierre would be good. I just didn't think he'd be this good this fast.
Right. Well, but they have McMichael for Wednesday in the top line.
Right. Yeah, they have. It looks like they have him slotted in the top line because right now Ovechkin, even though he's looking better, is day to day. So yeah. we don't know. I say keep them both as much as you can, even though, well, yeah, they're both natural centers, but I think they can both play the wing. So I don't really have a problem with either platooning them or just keeping them and sitting out your older guys and, you know, seeing what you got.
Well, and that's like when I saw McMichael's name, I was like, sweet. I like that. I like the, what it looks like for Wednesday. I like LaPierre. I think what a lot of people who were following him saw, you know, huge potential, and then unfortunately, you know, back-to-back concussions, and you know, issues with that, and you know, is he accident prone, and you know, is he this and he that? What he went through, surgery-wise and rehabilitation-wise, and everything else, and who he is in the ice now, amazing. Like he has, I think he's proven himself in regards to taking all the negative talk that everybody had, like, oh, he's not, you know, he's going to get injured. Oh, he's this, he's that. It was like, no, the kid did exactly what he needed to do. You know, it wasn't just concussions. It was, you know, I think there were like two vertebrae that were, you know, there was like this whole story on like what pain this kid was going through. And, has said, you know, listen, I've played, you know, this league and I'm ready for this league. And it's like, yeah. And I think he's proven himself. And so I think it's actually kind of exciting to have two, what, like they're 19 and 20.
yeah.
Passionate centers, but yeah, but, and the LaPierre can be left wing. So I like that. I like the fact that he's kind of shaking off the negative, shaking off like all the naysayers who were like, no, forget him, count him out, and proving people wrong. And that's just that kind of passion that any team, but especially for the Capitals, why not have, you know, that passion and skill of a 19-year-old? It's awesome.
Yeah, I am starting to fall in love with his game. He's got a kind of I'm not really sure who to compare him to. I see a lot. I see a little bit of Dennis Savard in him. He's a pretty good skater. Right. I see a lot of kind of, you know, he's not flashy with his moves, but he's a pretty good skater, knows how to handle the puck really well. I like the fact that him and McMichael have kind of, you know, I don't know if it's a bond yet, but they seem to have something of a start of a chemistry going between them.
Yeah.
It just seemed like every time the two of them were on a line together, stuff would happen.
Yeah.
So,
and that's that's, I think, where we keep talking about, that's what the Capitals, you know, we've talked about, my God, chemistry for me has always been that C word for the last four seasons. And when you have it between a Backstrom and an Ovechkin, and you have it with the Dowd and Hathaway and the, you know, Wilson and Oshie, and people love to kind of see that because there is this, you know, bond and bromance. I hate that word, but that you see, but like with these guys, it's like, hey, there's just some mutual respect for each other out there. And to me, I can honestly say the fact that they're able to bond, almost kind of, you know, fighting for the same spot, just shows an incredible amount of maturity, which is what we need to see, you know, which is what you want in the locker room, like to say, hey, I don't care if I'm 19 or 20, a maturity and a really admirable sense of sportsmanship. You know, which, You can be a total dick. And it's like, oh my God, you know, like they're out there and it's like, be competitive, but don't be an asshole. And I think that these two, and they are kids in my opinion. That to me just shows a lot of like, you just can't help but want to pull for them.
Oh, totally. 100%.
Yeah.
And I, that's why, look, I mean, I just want to say something to our own fans who might be, and I had to deal with a couple of them today in our own page. Hey, look, don't give up on this team just because a bunch of so-called experts think, oh, they're not going to make, they're going to be lucky to even make the playoffs. They're so old now and they don't seem to have it together. And you know, they got all these young guys they don't know what to do with. And
okay, here's my problem with that is, okay, here's and this even goes back to, I think, one of the first times you even asked me to be on the show 4 years ago, whatever it was. And I remember reading a statistic. I think it was something like there are in Canada, just in Canada alone, like 35,000 hockey players that want to be in the NHL, whether they're playing high school, college, that's what they're striving for.
Right.
So to know that there's such a huge amount and to know that these kids have made, these gentlemen, whatever you want to call them, have made the cut. Yeah, they sure as fuck know what they're doing. They've probably been doing this, especially since a lot of them do live in Canada. This is that they're, you know, eat, sleep, hockey since they were probably three. So cut them some slack. And yes, they know what they're doing. Yes, they've been playing on a team because that's what hockey is, a team sport, their entire lives. So is this new? Of course it is. Is it like, hey, put your, you know, big boy pants on and, you know, don't showboat, but do what you're supposed to do to impress us? Yes. So give them a chance to do what they have been doing, which is the same thing that happened in 2005. You know, when Ovechkin started, first thing that happened when Tom Wilson started, first thing that, you know, it's like nobody came out and was like, that player on ice and was like, hey, I know everything. You know, it's like everyone's got to start somewhere. So right. I don't know why fans would think, speaking negatively, when the season one hasn't even started, and two, they probably don't know what they're talking about anyways, that it's like, this is in every fucking sport. Every sport, you are going to have veteran players and you're going to have the up and coming, you know, rookies. In every sport. So why would our fans be so negative?
Well,
I get
that. I do get all that. And I don't like it either. And I think people look at the results of the last 2 years, you know, the playoffs, and the fact that, you know, they didn't really make a whole lot of noise other than going out in the
pandemic.
Yeah,
you know, not to say that I don't know if the Capitals had taken the Stanley Cup in the last season year before, if I would have been able to be like, oh, it's pandemic and they fought hard and they played what they wanted to play and therefore, you know, I don't know, maybe I'd feel differently, but I think right now it's like I don't even think about any kind of championships, any kind of world, whatever it is, whatever you want to talk about when it comes to the pandemic, because of all the things that, you know, the isolations, the illness, the no fans, all that kind of stuff, that it's like, okay, well, why don't we just kind of start fresh, see what happens. And, you know, it's like the puck hasn't even dropped for Wednesday and people are already, I haven't looked so on the page much because, well, I think I'm like would get all fired up.
not just
our page, but you know, other pages.
It's not just our page. It's a lot of other places. And I think we talked about this the last year or so, in that I think people got too used to and too comfortable with, you know, the core and how they did and winning, you know, 40, 50 games a year and 100 plus standings points every year. And, you know, that's great and all that, but sooner or later you have to evolve. But I might be looking at this through rose colored glasses, I admit, but I still think this team has got a chance. Like I said, I'm going to be a realist too. I don't think they will challenge truly for the division. That would be icing on the cake if they did, but I don't expect them to. I don't really care. But if you look at it, this team still has probably a lot of the pieces you need, a lot of the pieces of the puzzle that you need. Decent goaltending, maybe not game-stealing goaltending yet. I think once those two guys get more seasoned, you know, I think that's all they'll really need is that element. So, right. but the goaltending isn't bad. It's, I think it's very, very capable.
Absolutely.
So they've got that in a sense. They've got a pretty good, probably one of the top offenses. If they can get it together and figure out how to tweak the power play, that would make it even more dangerous. So they've got that. They've got guys who are experienced playing defense. So the blue liner core, not to drop my own name, is still pretty good. I think Justin Schultz is very underrated. Mm-hmm. I don't like him right now, but you've got to say that John Carlson is still top 10. I'll put him top 10. I won't put him top 5. But
speaking of Carlson, since you just on a little sidebar, going through some of the preseason games, which I don't usually watch. And I was honest with you about that because I hate anytime it's like preseason football, preseason hockey, because I hate to see any kind of injury, which of course we've seen. So, but I will say I have been happy to hear the following names: Kuzi, Wilson, Oshie, and Carlson pretty much consistently throughout the last these preseason games, and also Nampa. So we want to talk about, you know, and I know that I'm looking at all, you know, different positions and whatnot, but I think that, I don't know, like, I know you're not a John Carlson fan. I always think, you know, if he's starting off his preseason this good, I just hope it continues.
Well, if he can return to the John Carlson that played the first 45 games or so of 2019, 2020. If he can get back to that somehow, right, that'd be great.
Yeah.
If he can, because he was Norris Trophy caliber type all through the playoffs of 2018 and up to that point. And then something happened that I think that might have been when he started having the knee problems.
Right.
That his game started going off a cliff. Right. So if he can get something back to that, that'd be great. Otherwise, I'm sorry, that's an $8 million albatross contract that we've got. I'm sorry. But unless he starts playing up to that, that's what we've got. But I'm not going to say he's not capable of that. But on top of all that, and I'm glad you mentioned him, probably the biggest, and we'll end with that, the biggest question of all, because besides your D, probably the most important position for the 60-minute game is your center. So who do we need to count on to bring his A game? Who would that be? That's got to be Kuznetsov. He's got to get back to the way he played in all of 2018. If he can find his game again.
Yeah. And I think we're starting to see that, which is why I was glad to hear his name in a positive sense, not, you know, in a what the fuck, Kuzi sense. And I think maybe it is that, you know, that threat of, you know, who could, you know, when you have a LaPierre and a McMichael and you have all these other guys coming up, and it's like, okay, well, you got to think about stepping up the game. And I think with him, he's done so great and then he's done so shitty and everyone just wants to focus on the negative. And it's like, come on, you know, let's get back to supporting who he was as a player and, you know, turn the page, new season, new year, let's hope for the best. And I think he has started, knock on wood, on a good path, unless just hope it continues.
Yeah, I'll say this. I saw him as much as I could in the preseason. And the trend up till now was he would, for every one thing he would do great, he would do four stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
He's starting to reverse that.
Yeah.
And so that's probably the biggest question of all that has to be answered. Can he get back to that? Can he get back to being that guy? And if he can, then I think this team has got a chance. Now, I'm pleading for our fans here to have some patience, though. It's probably going to be a bumpy first dozen or so games.
Of course.
They're still going to find out who they are and what's going to work. So I don't be surprised if a lot of those first few games go to overtime, they lose them, or, you know, they look a bit out of sort. It's going to take them some time to find out who they are. But I think you will like this team and how they play as everything progresses. And you're going to see a ramping up of the effort come the last 15 games as they head into the playoffs. I think you're going to like, if you watch this team, I think you're going to like the effort that they put out. Because the younger guys, and I'm not only talking about the obvious two, LaPierre and McMichael, and potentially Pino.
I'd like to know who my favorite is.
Garrett Pilon as well. Who would that be?
I'm becoming a big Beck fan. Malenstein.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I think he's got an outside shot. I don't know if they sent him back to Hershey already. I think they might have.
They did not.
Oh, they haven't. He's still up with the big club. Okay.
Yes.
He's deceptively fast for his size.
Agreed. Well, for his size. No,
He's 6'5", but he moves.
Yeah. Like, okay. I thought you meant like, yeah, I was thinking, sorry, never mind. Yes.
Yeah, no, he's 6'5", but he doesn't move like it. He's pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't know. He's on my radar, and him and LaPierre, but there's something about Beck that I just like this kid, although he's 23, but still I could be his mom, so then I do consider him a kid. but I like him, and I like Favari.
Right. The one guy we haven't mentioned yet, of course, is Martin Favari, and I expect him to flat out make the club. Now, unfortunately, yeah, it looks like that's going to come at the cost of sending down Kempney and keeping him with Hershey. But I'll be honest, I don't think Kempney has had enough time to work himself back into game shape.
Right.
No thanks to, you know, COVID and all the freak stuff that's happened to him.
Right.
He just hasn't had enough time. I know it's been a long haul for him, but you got to remember the guy had his leg muscle torn in half pretty much. And
so gnarly.
That is incredibly difficult to come back from. So like Anna said, you got to cut him some slack. So he might be back. I didn't think he looked that bad in the preseason. But,
well, I didn't think so either. I mean, I think he was definitely trying. I mean, he's putting it out there, but yeah, I'm like, my God, I would always
be on his way.
Yeah. And I think I saw you post today on our Facebook page. He's not 100%. We're not seeing 100%. And I don't know if you ever have an injury like that, that you're ever going to be able to play 100%. Because I think a side of you is always going to be overly cautious.
Well,
my God.
Think about it, though. If most people, they go through all that, most people probably would have given up by now. He's got a lot of heart in sticking it out.
I've always been a Kempney fan, so.
So
But I can see, you know, when there's potential, and I think Favari is, and Alexander Alexis.
Oh, he'll be there. He'll be there opening night for sure. And I think he'll, as long as he doesn't hurt, I think he'll be there for all 82 games. So yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
But yeah, so you got everything, all the pieces. You got the goaltending, you got the defense, you got the offense, and the special teams, and you got the experience coaching that can put it all together. So I'm not gonna make any grand promises, but I think this team has a lot to offer and a lot to like. I think at least towards the end, you're gonna like what you see.
Yeah.
And be proud of this team. So I don't think there's anything yet to be down about, and I don't think there's going to be. So all I'm asking for, you know, all our loyal listeners out there, you on the other side of the speakers, the earbuds, what have you, however you're listening to us right now, have a little faith.
Yeah, seriously.
All I'm asking.
And start the season.
Yeah, for real. So, okay. So, I think this is a good place to wrap it up.
Yep.
For our first show. Hopefully you'll join us next week. Now, of course, opening night is at home this coming Wednesday at Cap 1, 7:30 puck drop against the Rangers. Mm-hmm. Without saying too much, that's going to be interesting. Oh, quick thing. The one guy we always talk about that we haven't mentioned at all, you know why I haven't mentioned him? Because I'm not worried about him at all. I haven't seen a drop off. I don't see anything wrong with his game. I think he'll be 100% ready to go. And that's, of course, Tom Wilson.
Oh, wait, I got nothing negative to say about Tom.
Nothing at all. I am not worried about him one bit. Haters are going to be haters, but I mean,
Ryan, yeah,
he's got the skills. He's got the brains. He's got the brawn. He's got everything he needs. I ain't worried about him one bit.
Nope. Me neither.
Nope. Right. So we got opening night with the Rangers Saturday night, 7 o'clock puck drop at home.
No, Wednesday night.
Well, the second game. Is Saturday night against Tampa, and then the homestand ends next Tuesday, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Avalanche against Colorado, also at home. So, interesting mix of opponents, an up and coming team, and two of probably the top five. So, gonna be pretty interesting. But tune in to watch, and of course we'll be on next week to record. And like I told Tom, anyone is welcome to air your thoughts and opinions on the show if you want, or certainly on our Facebook page. So it's been a while. So Anna, if you want to air your contact information again.
Sure. I am on, Facebook. I'm on PowerPoint's probably the best way to get a hold of me. I'm also on Instagram at Aquanox49. And I am on Twitter, but my gosh, I think it's ANOX49.
Yes.
I haven't been on forever, so I apologize. But now, as soon as this episode comes out, I will be back into that. And yeah, but I'm on social media all the time, so reach out and say hey.
Yep. And so like Anna, you can reach me as well on the Facebook page. I encourage everybody to friend me once they join, so we can instant message there. You can also catch me on Twitter. I am at BlueLiner98. That's at BLULINER98 on Twitter as well. And I'll go ahead and give out my personal email. That's GLHALLOWED@yahoo.com. If you got a question you want aired on the show, you can reach me there. Contact me there if you have a question or comment. Love to hear from you. And, yeah, so our distributor is Podbean, but we're on every podcast distributor you can think of. So catch us there, stream us live, and thanks for taking part in us, because that's what we're all about, getting Caps fans involved. So thanks for indulging us in this start to another year. As I said, Anna and I's fourth year together. So we're going to stop it here. And thank you again for listening. And so this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that I used to be pretty good friends with somebody who went on a totally non-animal product diet. And it went It went pretty well for her, except about a month later, she got a really, really, really bad case of constipation. And I don't know what happened after that. I think she might have just quit that diet. But you know what the moral of that story is, don't you, Anna?
I don't.
What happens in vegans stays in vegans.
Oh, hey. Nope. It's a good try, though. Still preseason, though, Gil. So maybe there'll be a kafah coming in the future.
I sure hope so.
No. We have 50 weeks or something to do it. So
can't blame a guy for trying.
That's true.
All right. So to open 2021-22, hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.